You know, mice are a problem.
Mice are a problem. I don't understand mice because if you put out a glue trap, mm-hmm. they run and they get stuck in the middle. How did they get to the middle if it's a sticky trap?
I have no idea.
Because are they leaping onto it? Like, wow.
Maybe they're being flung onto it by angry mice from another gang. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name's Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
You want to start with that?
Sure.
So Katie's going to kick off with some legal hikey sent in by our one and only, my husband, Greg Zenin.
Right. Greg's very funny because he'll email it to our Hey You Know It address. He doesn't look at Jaquetta like,
because
here it is.
I won't read it.
It's like, sent it in like everybody else.
I said send it to Katie.
Right. So here it is. So Greg sends this email. Mm-hmm. What did he say? Nothing like a DWI lawyer in your pocket when you're pulled over. Greg.
Greg. Okay. That's it. That's his headline.
Right. So here it is. It says, welcome to the revolution. This is the one mobile
app. Welcome to the revolution. Yeah. It will be podcasted.
One mobile app designed to help you at a moment when you need it. Mm-hmm. Don't drive. Would you drive without it, without insurance?
No. Yes. Some people do. People do it all the time.
So basically it's called, it's a DUI dialer. Dewey dialer. What is it? It's pronounced just like it sounds, and it helps connect you to an... I don't know how it sounds.
Oh, they usually... I've heard dialer. Greg say Dewey.
I would say Dewey.
Okay, Dewey dialer.
Dewey. D-U-I. Yeah. D-W-I dialer. So don't tell me it's pronounced like it sounds, because I don't know what...
Dewey people.
It's pronounced like it sounds.
Is that like what they said?
Yes.
Oh my God. No wonder we're not getting anywhere with it.
It's pronounced like it's spelled. That's okay. What they wanted to say, but they have it down pronounced as it sounds.
It's pronounced like it's pronounced. It sounds like it sounds, is what they're trying to say to us. And we're not having any of it.
Should we let them know that they need to change it?
They were drunk when they did it.
Yeah.
They need to use their app before they write copy.
It's pronounced like it sounds, okay. They say.
Wink.
And it helps you connect to an attorney specializing in DUI, DWI cases when you've been stopped and maybe arrested.
So you've already been pulled over now. You can be like, hold on, officer. Ossifer.
Right?
Let me just get out my phone.
It's a free app and it's paid for by participating attorneys.
Okay, of course. Okay.
And it helps. What does it do? How does it protect me? Well, it helps protect your rights.
You're
stopped, you may be arrested. And just launch...
Just show them the app and they'll let you drive them home.
No, just launch
it. They'll say go straight home.
Just hit the app and then a lawyer is supposed to get in touch.
It's like a good neighbor.
Yeah. They do the rest.
They do the rest.
How does it work? Are you drunk already?
Yes. How can you tell? How do you know?
What's happening here? Once the app is launched, an automated process begins.
Launch. I know that they use that for apps. I know that's a co-location, but it just sounds so dramatic. Nothing's going to happen. When I launch an app, I want it to be like, wow.
Yeah, you want some.
I want lights to go off, and I want a lawyer to spring out of my pocket.
That's.
And then run off chasing an ambulance.
Spring out of your pocket.
Yes.
All right, your contact details and recording of the incident is sent via text to an email to the top and best participating attorney in your area.
Mm-hmm.
What if they're busy?
They won't be, believe me. If these are DWI and DUI lawyers, they are sitting by the phone.
Oh, really?
Waiting. Yeah, this
like,
is how they do
Friday
business.
Night. Ooh.
Because if they don't come immediately, you're just going to go to the next person. You're not going to be like, well, tried to call, you know, Phil wasn't there. Fuck it. Lock me up. Like, you're going to keep calling.
Why should I use this? It's easy. We make the process of protecting your rights to representation simple. Oh, so you press the trouble button. This is the directions. Press the trouble button.
You're drunk. You probably cannot get your phone out and then start. You probably accidentally dial your ex-wife.
Yeah. Right.
And be like, I'm drunk.
Yeah, because you put her name as trouble in your
yes.
phone. You're like, dial trouble.
You're calling.
Like, what is it, Phil?
You're calling a hooker from last weekend by accident.
Yeah, right. Press the contact my attorney now button, all with exclamation marks, by the way. And this will start the recording of the incident. The application will automatically stop after 30 minutes.
That's not bad. a lot of attorneys do tell clients when you have to interactions with the police to start recording it right away. Yeah. It's legal and you should do it. I don't know how this app is going to speed that up. Because keep in mind now, I've had 6, 7.
Yeah. Oh, no.
You know, yeah. Cosmos.
Right, right. And then, and you're supposed to put it in the right spot. And how is this going to pick up a, like a good recording?
Hold on, I just want to make a, you know.
And then it falls. Know. It's on the seat.
Yes.
It's like on the floor.
You have to ask the cop for assistance. No, yeah, no, 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 yeah. Not that app.
Yeah.
That app tells me what dress to wear. Like, I need the app that gets a lawyer. So what's it called again? DWI Dialer? DWI Dialer?
DWI Dialer.
Wow.
It's pronounced like it sounds.
The old Jaquetta. School method is just to have a lawyer's business card.
Yeah.
Like, just that also works as well.
That works
or how
nice.
About don't get in your fucking car when you're drunk?
Right.
Long Island. I'm looking at you, Long Island. Because that's who it is. I'm looking at you, Jersey.
And drinking, drunk driving is the same as buzz driving.
Yes. Is there a buzz app for that? There's an app for, like, I'm just a little bit off.
The application will only allow the user to use it one time in a calendar day. So,
really? You don't tell me.
So for the morning drunk driving episode and the evening one, forget it. Pick one.
Yes. Once a day?
Yeah.
Wow.
This helps keep spam to a minimum.
Interesting. When we were in Canada at a bunch of bars that we went to, they have breathalyzers.
Yeah.
So you can check your breath on the way out. So I was at an attorney function last weekend, and I mentioned this to some of the attorneys, and they're like, let me tell you what happened. So there was somewhere, they were like testing these things out to see how drunk, you know, this is just to measure how drunk you are. And apparently people were just getting loaded and being like, I'm going to blow the highest one.
Oh.
It's not the thing to do.
It becomes the fun thing to do.
That's interesting. All right. So welcome to the revolution.
Mm-hmm.
The revolution
Thank
has
you, Greg.
Started. Thank
That's
you
great.
Very much. So I have a piece of robot news. Katie and I are both freaked out by the robo-apocalypse. It's coming.
Yes, it's
coming.
Started. It started in South Korea.
And remember that we reported on maybe like 2 or 3 years ago an origami robot?
Yes.
So
it folds itself up.
It folds itself. It was the size of a piece of paper.
It could go under the door and then reassemble itself.
Yes. Right in time for me to squash it with my foot. So they
That's right. It took like 15 minutes. So you're just like, I'm terrified, but I can still get over it and step on you.
So this, they've made it smaller. It's now a centimeter long origami robot controlled by magnetic fields. A tiny robot climbs inclines, swims, and carries a load twice its weight.
Wow.
So at a recent...
A centimeter?
A centimeter. That's really small. That's small enough to crawl up your nose and get in your midst.
Oh. Get in your midst.
At a recent international conference on robotics and automation, why aren't we going to these conferences? We are robot journalists.
Oh,
I think
no.
We could make the case. We could make ourselves a little, like, lanyard with a thing.
We should.
That says podcast, like, robot podcast.
Podcast press.
Yeah. Like, we need to get in here.
We are robot journalists.
Don't you know who we are? MIT researchers presented a printable origami robot that folds itself up from a flat sheet of plastic when heated.
What?
So, and measures about a centimeter long.
So when it's cold out, middle of winter, you're like, origami robot, activate. No.
Breathe on it.
It goes for like 2 feet. It's like, it's cold.
It's cold. It weighs a third of a gram. It can swim.
Oh.
Climb an incline. Traverse rough terrain. I guess for rough terrain for that is like what? I don't
over
know.
Over a pencil on the desk.
Carry a load twice its weight. And
twice its weight. It's a centimeter.
It's tiny, right?
Yeah.
So it's.
I'm not impressed, origami robot.
So the...
Or whatever you are.
Here is the creepy part. The robot's design was motivated by a hypothetical application in which tiny sheets of material would be injected into the human body, navigate to an intervention site, fold themselves up, and when they have finished their tasks, dissolve into the body.
Ooh.
And this guy says, and this is why we don't trust robots. It's not the robot, it's the people. He says, quote unquote, we complete the cycle from birth through life, activity, and the end of life. The circle is closed. No, you didn't, dude. All you did was make a little worm out of plastic.
A worm that dissolves.
That dissolves. Like, how is that the cycle of life? So, I'm scared.
And how sad is that? That's depressing.
In the toilet.
That's like, morbid.
Yeah.
And people are going to write poetry about it.
Bizarre.
Much like the injectable robot into my bloodstream.
Mm-hmm.
You came into my life and then dissolved just as quickly.
Leaving behind a tiny magnet. To be remembered by. So it's a centimeter long origami robot. I don't know what to say. It's really, really creepy. There's no way that this is something from, like, you know, Boris and Natasha. I feel like it's like some spy shit from back in the day.
Scary.
So that's my robot news. And actually now I'm wondering, yeah, we got to figure out a way to get into one of these conferences.
You know what I need? This is a BS. Little robot cat to catch mice.
It's not a bad idea.
It really isn't, because then you don't have to deal with the cat.
I was going to riff on it, but now I'm like, no, I'm sorry.
No, it has to have essence of cat on it to help keep mice away, because once a mouse feels like a cat's in there, they won't come in. But if it's a, you know, a bold mouse.
A bold mofo, and just don't care.
Yeah, then the cat will be go after it.
Why haven't they come up with this?
Yeah, and
you
what?
Can build a better mousetrap with science.
Yeah. See, this is something they need to work on. DARPA people, get on this.
Because, you know, mice are a problem.
Mice are a problem. I don't understand mice, because if you put out a glue trap, mm-hmm. they run and they get stuck in the middle. How did they get to the middle if it's a sticky trap?
I have no idea.
Because are they leaping onto it? Like, wow. This
is... Maybe they're being flung onto it by angry mice from another gang.
Okay, so the traps, they have a little scent to them to attract the mouse.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're approaching something, I mean, like...
Maybe it's less sticky on the perimeter.
Oh, and then they're let me get out of this.
Otherwise,
stickiness.
You would come up and you just have a mouse with one foot stuck
on
there.
That's what I think is supposed to happen.
No, I think they make it intentionally so that the mouse can get into the center and then it's stuck
and
there.
Then it's, okay.
Because the last thing you want to do is come home and find 8 or 9 mice around the perimeter of this thing with, like, 1 or 2 feet on
like
it.
Like playing Twister.
I'm just looking sad.
Yeah, because they can chew their leg off if they want to.
I didn't
to.
Know that. I thought only the mighty Wolverine did that. I was not aware that a mouse would chew its own foot off.
I think it would.
And it will now.
It will now.
If it hears this podcast. that's a great idea. Why aren't DARPA? Why aren't there robot mice? You're
cats.
Too busy out there making a robot girlfriend that his knees explode when she tries to, like, perform a tiny action. Come up with this. This is actually important.
Yes.
You know? Here's another thing you can come
this
up with.
Because we need this. Because there are some people like, you know, me, I have time for a cat.
Cats got attitude.
Yeah.
By the way.
I don't like the way they stare.
Because they don't care about you or me.
Yeah.
They're waiting for us to fall, or, you know, so they can go tell their little cat friends about it.
They scare me. I'm happy for cats and people who love cats. If you love cats, I'm
but happy don't bring them to you.
I'm just a little afraid.
But did a cat do something to you when you were a kid?
No, it's just they're nothing.
They're
just
sneaky.
Like, yeah.
They're kind of shy. They're shady.
I think.
And judgmental.
Yeah.
I feel like they're judgmental about clothing, about lifestyle choices.
I think, you know, maybe it's just the idea of horror. You know, you're a little kid and you think that things are under your bed.
It's a cat.
Well, no, there were no cats, but I was babysitting and I was making the kid's bed or whatever.
Gather around.
And, you know, I'm pulling the sheets up or the blankets up and my foot is under and something grabs my foot. It's a little cat paw. Pawing at my foot because my foot poked under the bed.
Mm-hmm. And people think when cats do that, they're trying to be cute. But that cat was like, "Bitch, step off!
Yeah,
get out of here!"
Yeah, and that's terrible. It's a terrifying feeling. And so I don't care for it.
I had
having one in my home.
I had a cat when I lived over in the South Bronx years ago. Speaking of, and we had so many mice because it was a shitty apartment. This cat took care of business.
Oh, yeah?
5 mice in one day. Nice. I was bringing that cat gourmet food like you wouldn't believe. I'm not even a huge cat fan, but he was pulling his weight.
Shouldn't you just, like, not give the cat food for getting to
the mice? He
wasn't
eating the mice.
He was just like,
he was just killing him and just leaving him in a pile.
Okay.
He was mercenary about it.
And he didn't even come to you with them? Like, look, he's just, like, over there.
That's too much trouble. It was sport for him. He didn't care about me. At all.
You didn't want your attention.
No. I also had a cat that used to like to get pasta, mm-hmm. like a rigatoni,
mm-hmm.
put it in its mouth, and then blow through it. It was the weirdest thing. We would hide the pasta. We would lock it up. We would put like a chair up against the door of the pantry. This motherfucker was relentless.
And he would find
the piece of rigatoni or a piece of macaroni, put it in his mouth, and just go.
That's hilarious.
It was weird.
That's so funny.
He had issues. All right. So.
Anyway.
Is it my turn or your turn? Oh, I got advice on advice.
Oh, advice on advice is the segment wherein we find advice on the internet that stinks.
Yeah, it's unqualified, and we want to improve upon it by giving advice on that advice.
So here's advice on advice.
Yes. So this is from Carolyn Hacks, and the title is It's Okay to Date Around Without Sleeping Around.
What?
So, hi, Carolyn. I'm back to dating after a multiple-year relationship. Years ago, I think I believed I was wrong. She's not sure.
I think I believed it at
the time. I think I believed I was wrong.
I think that I believe...
I think I believed it was wrong for people to date around.
Date around?
You know.
from corner to corner.
Yes, are all around the place, without being explicitly clear that that's what they were doing.
What?
Now that I'm closer to 30 than 21, things feel oddly less clear, not more.
What?
I'm not sleeping with anyone.
I'm less, oddly less, less clear right now.
Not more. I'm not sleeping with anyone, but there are a few guys I see fairly regularly, and my feelings are pleasant and likely not passionate about all of them.
I feel pleasant, but I think my feelings are... What was she saying in the beginning?
She said, I think I believed I was wrong.
I think my feelings are pleasant.
Or pleasant. I'm hoping that eventually those feelings of passion set in. Girl, if it hasn't happened yet, it's not going to. About one of these guys, or somebody else.
Anybody.
Right? Anyone. And ideally, my next serious relationship will lead to marriage. In the meantime, I am a fun and respectable date. You sound boring.
Oh, my God.
I don't even date women, but I wouldn't even know what she's thinking
or feeling. She's got just a couple of...
I split costs fairly with each guy, and I may put in quotes, thereby ruining it for everyone else.
Yes.
And I'm living in the moment. It doesn't sound like it.
It doesn't sound like it. It sounds like you're very measured and you're not doing it. You're just a milquetoast.
I am living in the moment while keeping an eye on both their feelings and my instincts about long-term potential. Is this wrong? No, it's just boring. Does it become wrong? Or if I know or at least suspect that a guy is dating only me. I feel like it's not until we have a conversation about exclusivity that I have to address this. I don't want to bring it up unless I have to. But I also know that
these
guys... You
don't want to do anything.
And no, she says, I know these guys will want to sleep with me because that's just how things work. Side note, they're sleeping with someone else.
Yeah.
And I really don't want to go down that road with multiple people at once.
Yeah, why don't you try
to do it all the same time?
Why don't you just try it? Try it. Why don't you sleep with everybody at once?
At the same time. Just have a group in sex, German style. And I'd need more and I need more serious feelings before I felt interested. My thoughts are kind of scattered. What's your take? Dating. So this woman
First of all, your question is a mess.
Is a hot mess. Yeah. All of these commas, these clauses are all over the place. you know, really, you got to put the adverb in the right location.
I think I felt at the time that your question was horrible.
So she wants to know, basically, is it okay to be dating multiple guys and sleeping with none of them?
It's okay.
Yes, it's all right.
Yes, that's
on a scale from 1 to 10, 3.
Yeah.
It says, dear dating, you seem self-aware, not scattered, wanting to date a lot of people, not sleep with them, and see whether anything more serious develops. So it's just a matter of how much you say to whom and when. So I guess her question is, she wants to know, if she brings up the exclusivity thing, then she feels like she has to break it off with all the other guys that she's dating and not sleeping with.
I think so.
And not sleep with one guy.
Right. I think that's what she feels.
I think I believe that's what she said. So it says, since you're not physically involved, I don't think you owe anyone an explanation yet, but your conscience has to make that call. Even there, though, you seem clear. When one of them makes a clear push for more, then you say something to him. And if that results in you're getting serious, then you drop the round robin altogether. I don't think you're giving yourself credit. You seem quite clear. You've merely stopped being absolute. A nice benefit of getting older, I think. I don't know. I don't like what she says, like, if you're not physically involved.
There's a lot to be said
for being emotionally involved with people without physicality.
Yeah, because that's a betrayal too. If you're leading somebody on into making them believe that you're close when you're not.
Yeah.
And that you like them when you're not. And if you feel like this person, your relationship is changing and that person is changing and being more intimate emotionally with you.
Yeah, and you're hoping someday to knock that bootay.
Yeah.
Out of the park.
Yeah, no, but emotionally, like, if you're close to somebody and you find out they've been just playing around with your emotions the whole time without even touching your pants.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think that people are getting, maybe because she thinks just because she's not being physical with them, which I also want to know what she thinks
or feels or what her body's like or what's going on.
But she's not having, she says she's not having sex with any of these guys, but like, are they getting to first base? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
or
what's
maybe
going
she could
on?
Be like doing the Bojanski thing and being
is
like,
is it just the
sex?
Tip? Just the tip?
It's just the tip.
You know? Bojanski's, Hojanski's as well?
Yeah, because some people are like, that's not sex, but it is. P.S.
So someone says, in today's dating world, though sex doesn't count as more, exclusivity is more, but sex is expected. That's what, for me.
Sexpectations. Yeah.
Since they're dating and not having
I'm sure there is a club called Sexpectations. But if not, we should open it.
We should start it. It'll just be a coffee shop.
Yeah.
We'll call it Low Sexpectations. Keeping expectations low since 2015. Hey, you know it. I've only dated a couple of people one time. Mm-hmm. And then the moment I felt like I was going to be serious about the one person, I got rid of the other people. Mm-hmm. And I married that guy. Mm-hmm. So it worked out pretty well. Exactly. But I felt weird about it. And I was so, I'd never done it before. And I think I actually said to Greg, like, it's someone else I'm dating. It's called, what do I do? And I'm sure that was very impressive for him.
Yeah.
Extremely impressive.
I'm sure he was thrilled.
But, like, that was, that never happened to me before.
Yeah.
You seem like a, you know, a more out there and about person.
I'm out on the town.
When you were younger, did you ever date more than one person? And then have to, like, make a decision about it? Or?
No, I was more, I guess... No, I mean, I could figure it out after, like, a couple of dates if I ever wanted to see the guy.
That's what
again.
I'm saying.
So it's not, even if there was a little bit of an overlap, somebody was just, like, fresh and new coming in. The other one was, like, you know,
just
a couple
going out
of
the front
weeks
door.
In, and I already knew that this was not going to... So there wasn't, like, I wasn't at the same level with every guy at the same time.
It's a good point, because... She must have started dating, like, a couple of people at the same time and kept it going on. Yeah, most of the situations that I've been dating someone, I'm like, that's not going to work. And then I go on
you
to
go
dating
on to
somebody else.
Yeah, I'm just like...
Because it's clear for me, like, if this is going to work or not.
Yeah,
so,
you know.
Well, good luck there.
My eyes weren't bigger than my stomach.
Yes. My mom used to say that all the time when I was a kid, and I was always like, what does it mean? And then I got older and was like, yeah, I see what it means.
Yeah.
It's the buffet eyes.
No, I never had, like, one guy coming in the front door, the other one going out the back door.
I can't even imagine.
Hmm.
Yeah. All right, what do you have?
I have found this article. How pain tolerant are you?
Not very.
Well, it says, look at your
of
eye
my
color.
My own pain?
Yeah.
Or other people's
pain? I'm tolerant of other people's pain. Easy.
Your eye color, that's not fair. We all have the same color eyes.
Yeah, if it says that, look at your eye color and it's going to tell you. Their eyes may be more than just a window to your soul.
Mm-hmm. Let me guess, people with brown eyes can be hit right in the face and keep it moving. Is that where this is going to go? Don't hit Scandinavians.
Recent research out of the University of Pittsburgh touts how eye color is related to predispositional traits such as pain tolerance and alcohol susceptibility. Sorry.
That's a thing? Alcohol susceptibility?
Yeah. So how can the color of your eyes determine these traits? The answer, the genes that determine your eye color also impact how your body reacts to pain and alcohol.
Really?
Isn't that crazy?
I can't believe
that. Eye color,
that.
It's based on 12 to 13 individual variations in people's genes.
Okay.
All right. So
is black one of those? Because we all have black.
Yeah, they say that, the melanin, the pigment that makes the eyes darker, makes you more susceptible to pain and more likely to be have an alcohol problem.
Oh,
if you
really?
Have darker eyes, yeah.
Okay. How do they figure out that they go around and poke a bunch of black people and Native Americans for this one?
That's it has this gene, the NCX-4. This gene, they tested for that gene and tested the pain tolerance, and that gene was also responsible for the eye color. So
interesting.
It's like, oh, this gene is, if you have brown eyes, you have this gene, so therefore...
So I'm an easily hurt drunk based on this study. Or, you know, add that to
although,
my
but
resume.
Although lighter-eyed people do not have much as
lighter-eyed
much
people.
Melanin in the brain, and they have slower reaction times than dark-eyed individuals.
Okay. So we can get away from the pain.
Research also has found that slower thinking light-eyed people tend to be more strategic than their dark-eyed counterparts.
Slower thinking light-eyed people? Slower thinking, light-eyed people are more strategic.
How can that be?
Who is doing crazy. This hot mess? You Pitt. University of Pittsburgh.
Have
they studied everything
brown
else?
Eyes, people with brown eyes are more intelligent.
You know what? My feet hurt. Why don't you work on that?
Yeah, so but brown-eyed people are more intelligent and trustworthy.
This
and
sounds
kind.
So sketchy.
It sounds like
to
a
me.
Cosmo article at this point. Blue eyes. You're supposed
shady
to be
and don't pay you back is what they
sweet
do.
Sweet and sexy.
Mm-hmm. Really?
And,
this sounds very
this
subjective
is like,
to
and
me.
And green eyes thought to be creative and a little devious.
I'm sorry, this
and
sounds
shy.
Racist.
This is like, it has turned, it went from like a study at a university with genes to like, ew, this is what the
so
kind of person
who has green eyes typically? Is it Irish people?
I think so. I'm supposed to have hazel eyes. I have to say I have brown eyes, but people are like, you're hazel.
So what are the traits for the green-eyed people over here?
The green-eyed people are creative, a little devious, and shy.
I don't know.
Oh, and sexy. Hey.
According to whom? I don't know if I know anyone who has green eyes.
No.
I don't know. They're sexy.
Big green-eyed, sexy, shy, creative, devious people.
Interesting.
And you, brown-eyed, intelligent, nice,
who can
kind.
Stand pain. And then this, what was it, the slow,
the
light-eyed people?
slow,
light-eyed people?
Slow, sexy, and kind.
Slow,
sweet.
Sexy, and kind.
You're sweet. You have sweet blue eyes. That means you're dumb. Ugh. Okay.
All right. People ask us, where is the Heydoid Studio?
They do all the time, and we tell them it is Funkadelic Studios.
And it's in the crook of the arm of Times Square.
That's right. Nestled.
Loving. Laying in the cut, chilling. Hey.
Yeah. It's 209 Ooh. West 40th Street, 5th floor, and they have rehearsal space, recording space.
Yeah. And they have jams.
And they usually have an open mic on a Saturday. You should check their schedule. They have jams and open mics for all ages. Sometimes they have it for women.
They have certain genres sometimes, and it's just a really awesome place. We record here, but you can do a lot of different things. So you can practice here. They do have professional recording stuff. They will help you with things. Yeah. Like they do everything.
They do everything, and they're really great people.
And
so,
they're nice to us.
Yeah, check out Funkadelic at funkadelicstudios.com.
Cool.
Hey, before I go jam at Funkadelic Studios, I listen to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta and Katie.
So I found this interesting thing here. It was Need to Suck It Up.
Ooh.
Try a meat straw.
What?
This is in the Wall Street Journal, which is also my onion. It says, Need to Suck It Up, Try a Meat Straw. Companies make straws out of beef, cookie, and other things. You can't go wrong with bacon.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's basically... I got you there, right? You're like, this is good. For years, straws with even the craziest curvy loops and bends were mostly made of the same thing, soft plastic. I remember as a kid having a couple those crazy straws, they were so cool.
They're cool until you have to clean them. Then your mother's like, you want your crazy straw? You have to rinse it yourself.
Yeah, you have to like put it in hot water and then like blow through the end of it.
Oh, it's just a nightmare. Because the milk gets stuck in there and it's rancid.
Well, it's milk with, because you like mixed it with like Quick or something, which is actually just Adobe.
Yeah.
So it says,
or you just bite a Twizzler on each end and use that.
Oh, yeah. That works as well. See, that's another kind of way you can make a straw. So it says, some companies want thirsty consumers to sip out of everything from sliced pork to beef, stainless steel, and repurposed cookie. Yeah. So it says, there's one guy here says you can't go wrong with bacon. His bar garnishes cocktails with straws made of coiled pork slabs. That you can probably taste better than it sounds.
What are we going to do with all this coiled pork slab that we have, Gerald?
Yes, lying around.
I don't know. People would like to suck things up through it, maybe?
Maybe. So the idea came to him when they noticed they were at a barbecue and they noticed that someone was using a metal bar to wrap bacon around it as like a garnish or something.
Okay, sure. They put it on the grill and then they have like a curlicue of bacon and it's beautiful.
So after a lot of experimentation, they found the best straw takes 2 slabs of pork and the batch takes an hour, and then a batch of straws takes about an hour to make. Mm. And I guess people are putting them in with their Bloody Marys, which is cool. I don't have a problem with pork, but it's like, so many people don't eat it, and I find that now when I go places, it's like they've thrown it onto like a salad.
And they're like, isn't this festive?
No.
It's great, everyone loves it.
Vegetarians, Muslims, Jewish people. Right. I love anyone who doesn't eat pork.
Or, that kind of processed.
Yeah, so basically a lot of bars now, they're giving pork straws, and then there's also a Starbucks. In April, they launched a cookie straw intended to complement the frozen cappuccino, because you need more calories and sweetness with that.
Of course you do.
Yeah. Straws were made with a rolled wafer biscuit and lined with chocolate.
Oh.
And they were 95 cents a piece.
That sounds nice.
They're one of the most popular packaged bakery items in stock. I'm trying to think of, like, what would I like a straw? Like, is there a way to make a straw out of wine?
Right.
Is that possible? Yeah. Like, is that an option?
I can
DARPA
almost
work on that.
DARPA work on it. Right. I can almost imagine it almost like a...
like a gelatin or something like that?
No, like a... the peel fruit. You know, the kind of...
That's what I'm thinking. Like a fruit roll-up or something like that.
A fruit roll-up. You kind of take the wine and you process it like that somehow, and turn it.
Keeping the alcohol in
somehow.
It.
That's, somehow. That's where science comes in.
But that's when we do our patent for it, we just put somehow yeah. and we trademark that.
Yeah.
That's our thing. Somehow. Et voila. You know, a wine straw is made.
Wine is poured on the wax.
Yes.
And somehow it somehow. Turns into a fruit roll-up.
And then voila.
Voila.
At the end. And that's our patent. Yeah. Hey, you know it. I thought that was interesting. I'd like more interesting straws.
Yeah. I mean, too. What else could we? Well, wine. I mean, I
can't think of anything besides wine, yeah. I'll come up with something later on the show. I'll just shout it out randomly. All right, what do you have?
I have, this was, some of your best anecdotes are probably stolen.
From
I'm like, come on. We all work hard to have a few anecdotes stuck in your back pocket to pull yes. out at the right time.
Yeah.
You don't want to get stuck at a cocktail party with nothing to say.
Exactly. I made a whole one-woman show out of 45 minutes of anecdotes. They were all mine.
Yeah.
I right. guarantee you.
Okay. It says here that passing off someone else's memories as your own is fairly common.
I remember when I was a young girl in Mahwah. In my backyard, there was a small pond, and we used to hang out there with some of the other people in the cul-de-sac.
And that's right.
There was a dead cat skull back there.
And back in Maryland, when I was a child, yes. I'd go to camp. I didn't care. It was outdoors.
Wait, did you have cornrows?
Yes.
I didn't care. It was outdoors. I like that. I went right to camp. I didn't care if it was outside. I went right there. Other kids were camping in. I was like, no.
Outside is where I camp. Yeah. In Maryland.
In Maryland.
By the Chesapeake Bay.
Yep, with crabs.
Yeah. So, it says here that there was an undergraduate participants of a new study published in Applied Cognitive Psychology.
Okay.
So, they say they took a story revealing, like, their story-stealing habits.
But they're like, gotcha!
Researchers couldn't verify these students were answering truthfully. That in mind, he and the rest of the researchers found 53% of participants have heard someone else tell a story that had been stolen from them.
Really?
So you could be sitting there and someone's telling your story. Like, has that happened to you? Where it's like,
it hasn't happened to me, but Greg said it happened to him. He heard, he was, I told him a story that a friend of his told me. And he was like, that's my story.
Oh, no.
And it was the best story of the whole party. Yeah. Like, it made that guy a hit.
Oh.
I was like, this story was so awesome, I gotta tell you. He was like, that's my story. I thought he was gonna, like, blow his top.
I have a story that I say is mine, that I went to my father's pet store as a child, and I held a puppy.
Mm-hmm.
And my father said, don't drop the puppy, don't drop the puppy. And sure enough, I dropped it, because it was squirming.
And it shattered.
And I got a little smack in the head for that. And my sister says that was her. And I was like, no, it was me. We both claim this as our own. I don't believe she was stealing it from me.
Were you together when it happened?
No, I was by myself.
I mean, it's possible that you both are clumsy and attempted to hold a puppy and failed to do so and got smacked.
Yeah, right.
Like, I think that's consistent.
Yeah, right.
You
right.
know?
I've heard my sister also steal jokes from my brother that he told in another room.
Oh, really?
And I was just like, that's, you know what? That's not your joke.
She's smart, that you gotta do it fast. She's before other people
that's
hear
the Michael's joke. I know it's Michael's joke, and by the way, and you couldn't create a joke like that.
I'm passing it off as my own. Prove it.
I was like, that's not it. That's not it.
If you tell a joke and you're the first person that they hear it from, it seems like it's you.
Yeah. 46% admitted to hearing someone else's story and later passing it off as their own.
So really?
46% of people are like, that's a great story. Guess what? When I go out tomorrow,
I'm going to tell that story. Did 46% of people also have incredibly fucking boring lives?
Yes.
Like, come on. You can't tell your own anecdote? I want to tell you about the time I was in Aspen and I was at Don Henley's house.
Wait a minute.
Yes. Oh, wait, that was you.
That was my story. How dare you? How dare you? 32% have spiced up their own anecdotes.
Have spiced it up?
With details still
from
someone else.
Or they think they have spiced it up. It was still boring.
I don't know. I found myself traveling, and I was,
Were you in Eastern Europe by any chance?
I ended up in Hungary.
Oh,
I ended up hungry. I was dropped off in the middle of nowhere. I said, take me where the action is.
Yes.
And there I was.
There you were.
I was by myself, but it was okay.
And you spoke Hungarian a little bit, too,
a little bit,
right?
Of
Hungarian. Yeah. And you also were teaching at the time, I think you told me. Hey, that's my story.
Oh.
That's the kind of story you gotta steal.
My story that I said I was traveling, so I had to spice it up with your.
Yes. with my background.
I was only going to Georgia, but now I'm in Hungary. In fact, more than half of the respondents have caught someone borrowing their own personal memory, suggests it's incredibly easy to lose track of where our memories actually originate. No one would intentionally tell a story in front of the person they stole it from.
Yeah, not intentionally, but I guess if you have been telling this story for such a long time, you've made it your own at this point, it might come around and, you know, it might get back to the person from whom you stole it.
Yeah, and this, the researchers argue, helps add to our understanding of how false memories are created. So really, are your memories real? Or have you been to Hungary?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure. My last name attests to it. Yes, I've been to Hungary. That's interesting, though. You know what? I think the only way to safeguard yourself from this is just don't listen to other people's stories.
Yeah.
When they are talking, just let your eyes roll back in your head.
Yeah.
And go to your happy place. Forget about it. You don't want to be like, no, I want to listen to your story, but I don't want to steal it.
All right. And another way I think that the whole world can help out with this, story plagiarism, is to stop telling do more things, so you just stop telling the same stories over and over again. Because some of the students said they heard the story so many times, they start to think of it as their own.
Wow, talk about susceptible.
Yeah. So it's like, really? Did I? Yes. I was in Hungary. What?
Yes. I participated in the D-Day invasion. You know, like, what are you talking about? You've heard this story so many times that
it kind of becomes your own. Like,
I guess if you had such a banal existence, and you're hanging around with people whose existence are equally like boring, I guess it kind of can all run together.
Yeah.
But like, I did some wild shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I want to hear somebody steal my story about how I was lost in Belgrade.
Yeah.
But I don't know anyone else who's been there, right?
Right.
Interesting.
I'd like to hear someone steal my story of how I was at the camel market.
Yeah.
In the Middle East on Thanksgiving morning.
What is the? I'm waiting for someone to
go
tell
ahead,
my story.
Tell me about how you did that on Thanksgiving morning.
The last thing I remember was that there was, you know, these things on top of the camels. I can't even steal the story because I only heard it once.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean? You're right. If you kept telling that story over and over and over again, I might be able to co-opt it.
Right.
But I've only heard it once.
Yeah. Because I got a lot of stories.
I could probably go back and review the podcast because I think you talked about it then. What if there's someone out there who's telling our podcast stories? Another podcast?
Right.
Hey, you know what, too?
You know what? I know two people named Vicky and Anne, and they're friends, and they play Words with Friends. And then Anne was playing, and another Vicky, there was a Vicky was answering, and she was like, hey, Vicky, that was a great answer. She goes, I've stopped playing Words with Friends for a very long time. And there was like another Vicky.
Yeah.
And she's like, Vicky, I don't think that I am the Anne that you know. And Vicky's like, oh my God.
How long have you been playing Words with Friends?
There were two sets of Vicky and Anne's.
Playing with the wrong Vicky and the wrong Anne.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's weird. And they're having like little interactions with each other, and it was working out.
Yeah.
Apparently they're pretty similar, I guess.
Yeah, that's kind of not the same story, but it's kind of a switcheroo.
I like that.
Anyway.
So yeah, safeguard your stories, people.
Yeah.
So I have a tale from Der Campfire. Tales from Der Campfire is a segment that we do where we find tales of the paranormal.
Folklore, myth,
urban
legends.
Ghost
stories.
And we retell them here around the digital campfire. So this one is hot off the British presses.
Oh my gosh. So it's a fresh ghost story.
It's a fresh ghost story.
All right.
It says, Fright Move. Maybe a play on words that we're not familiar with on the side of the pond.
Okay.
Ghost spotted in snap taken at haunted house, spooked mom into fleeing in terror.
Okay.
So this woman
is
living in a rented apartment, and she had a horrifying moment. She ran out of the property terrified after spotting a ghostly apparition in a photo of her son.
Okay, so, wait a minute. She's in there. She snapped a photo of her son.
She took a picture of her son. She reviewed the photo, I guess, on her phone or whatever. And then she noticed in the background a small boy.
Ooh.
And she bolted.
And not her son.
It's not her son at all. Now, I'm looking at the picture. It just looks like...
Was he like a nice-looking kid?
It looks like the silhouette of a person. But we all know that when we look at anything, we try to make it into something that's familiar. So it says they reported that the house on Pickwick Street... That sounds haunted already. Mm-hmm. Was up for rent, and it was described as a place of paranormal activity. So they're trying to rent it out as a haunted house.
Mm.
So I don't know why this woman didn't know, because it says clearly on there.
And she ran.
She lived in the house for 3 years with two young children, and she always suspected something that there was something spooky in the house. She said, if you look at the photo, it looks like there's a little boy in the background. He's facing the wall. It was spooky because it was only myself and my son in the house. There was no one else here. A local paranormal expert, Tom Slemmon, claims there are reports of a 135-year-old poltergeist haunting various houses on that street.
135-year-olds?
Yes.
Wait, how did he come up with that number?
He said that the quote-unquote violent spirit had even gone so far as to lift a woman out of her bed and shake the house so much that a tenant thought it was going to collapse.
Pretty strong for a 135-year-old
yes.
spirit.
The woman who
it's
ran
like
out
Jacqueline
of the house.
Lane of,
The Jacqueline of spirits.
Yeah.
She reports that it was a cold house. I used to spend a fortune on gas, and now I realize it's probably because of the ghost.
Oh.
Or maybe just, like, the house is poorly insulated. I'm going to put that one in there.
And it's winter.
Yeah. She said she was hear
cold?
Unexplained noises, and on one occasion claimed that a drinks bottle was flung across the room independently.
A drinks bottle?
Yeah.
What's a drinks bottle?
I don't know. I guess...
A bottle
of alcohol, I'm guessing? I'm not sure.
I say drinks bottle. What do you first picture? Drinks bottle.
Whiskey?
I think it's the kind of reusable water cup with a lid. That's what I think a drinks bottle is.
I don't even know what that is.
No, like you go to the gym and you have, like, instead of a bottle of water, you have, like, the reusable
oh,
bottle with a straw.
Okay. With a straw?
Sure.
Sure. Okay. At the gym. You are going to a classy gym. I just have, like, a nasty old aluminum water bottle.
Yeah.
I'm imagining you with, like, this, like, you know, ice cubes in the water
sure
and, like,
is.
A slice of lime or
yes.
lemon. She said on one occasion her daughter was shouting, screaming for her, and I went upstairs, and the daughter said that someone had slammed a door on her. And another time, my mom and my sister were sitting in a room, and then a bottle of Lucozade, which is kind of like Gatorade, flew across the room on its own.
Oh.
So this is a haunted house. At this point now, the house is up for rent again, and mm-hmm. people are looking into it as a, you know, a haunted apartment.
Some people would love that. You
yeah.
can charge more.
It's actually not that bad. I mean, for a violent ghost, I would say throwing, like, a bottle of whiskey across the room once every 10 years.
What was it, Susan Lucci?
Yeah.
How dare you?
It's not that disgusting or weird. I think, and the vibrations, I think, can be explained. There's probably, like, a tube underground or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, yeah, that is a fright move. Ghost spotted in a snap taken. It doesn't look like a ghost to me.
No, it doesn't. It looks like a shadow.
Yeah, this looks like a shadow.
It looks like a chair.
Yep. All right. So, what do you have?
I do have some advice.
Okay. Did we already do advice?
We did. I think we did advice, but we're doing a little more.
Just in case, advice is a segment that we do. We found advice on the internet that stinks, and we try to improve upon it by giving our advice and advice.
Right.
Hashtag advice and advice.
This is, wow.
Yeah, that was the car sales portion.
And sign here.
Yeah.
And here.
Give us your first
and
one.
Sign there and date it. Did you turn it over?
699.
And sign? Okay. This is from Miss Vicky, which is, again, the military.
Oh, that's right. The military style. Lifestyle.
Yes.
Oh, this
military
was,
lifestyle.
She gave us a good one last time.
Okay. Dear Miss Vicky, my husband enlisted in the Navy at a late age of 28.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, I was supporting us financially, and he had no long-term career plans or education.
Okay.
Oh.
Wow.
It had been 3 years.
Did he go into the Army just because he didn't have a direction?
Probably.
Okay.
Didn't know what
to
do.
I mean, it's not the worst thing to do, I guess. It's a job.
I mean, he didn't have any career plans or education
yeah.
and got says, so like,
okay,
do something.
I'll go into the Army.
It had been 3 years. And
although, let me just say, that's a hard job.
Yeah.
Like, if I didn't know what I was going to do, I would think going to the armed services was probably not my first. Like, if I didn't have
right.
direction, I don't know.
Well, I guess he went there for direction. Because
okay.
they tell you what to do.
They do tell you what to do.
Yeah. He moved up in the ranks rather quickly. However, my career and self-esteem have been severely affected. I am very career-oriented, and I didn't realize that my career options and marketability would plummet
oh, yeah.
like they have.
Yeah, military spouses have a hard time. They're
yeah.
moving around a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to areas where whatever it is that you have skills in may not be present there.
Right.
Bases are sometimes in the middle of nowhere.
Right. I'm depressed, lonely, and resentful that he gets to go out and be with coworkers on a ship doing exciting work while I'm stuck at home with all the child care and housework responsibilities.
Wow.
It has come to the point where I don't want to hear about his work. Invite military members over or generally have anything to do with the military.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not very,
that's going to be hard.
Yeah. I'm not very patriotic to begin with and can't find career-oriented spouses who are also left-leaning or who are interested in math and science like I am.
Did she think about any of this before she
married this guy?
Yeah, went in with this. I mean, they were married before, but I mean,
yeah, but
wow.
still, like, think about,
yeah,
like he had no direction and no plans and no education, and she
yeah.
seemed very driven.
Yeah.
He must have been good in the sack.
I guess so.
Had to be.
It must have been something. Had to be. Yeah. Pipe was laid. Okay. Yeah.
I don't like this lifestyle. And he doesn't understand what I have given up. Well, again, he didn't have an education, so of course he's not going to understand.
But also, they're older, too. That's different.
Yeah.
I imagine it's, I don't know what it's like, but I'm imagining a lot of the women around her may be younger and haven't had the kind of career background that she's had. So it's isolating.
I want him to leave after his 4-year commitment, but he doesn't want to. How do I get over my resentment, and how can we make this work without me sacrificing everything I've worked for?
That sounds like an affair is going to happen.
Sounds like a military base. Yeah, this is, they're going to have to leave.
Yeah, it's not going to work.
Separate lives. It's not going to work. Just get a divorce now and go.
Yeah, they don't have kids. Forget it.
No, they do have kids.
Oh, they do?
They have child care and housework responsibilities.
Ooh, okay.
So, get a divorce.
Yeah, that's our advice. All right, what is the...
Signed liberal wife. Dear liberal wife, this sounds like a tough transition for you.
Huh? You don't say.
It's very normal given your situation. Think about it. Before your husband joined the Navy, you were working in a career. Why don't you just rub it in, Miss
Vicky? I know.
Supported your family.
It was your time to shine, girl.
You had it all.
Yeah. You're gonna make it after all.
Supporting your family as the breadwinner. Now you're home with the responsibilities of the children and housework. She just rewrote the question.
Yes. So, boo. Boo.
Boo, Miss Vicky. However, I see this as a win-win for you.
How? I'm waiting for her to pull this one out. Okay.
Okay, so maybe it is boring being home without adult conversation, but you get to be present for your children and spend more time with them.
Obviously, that was not a problem.
No. You're probably saying blah, blah, blah. No, I don't know if that's the right four-letter word that she's...
Well, it's not for every woman to stay at home with kids. Some people get bored out of their minds. Some people love it.
Yeah.
You know?
But you will look back and appreciate the additional time you had to be available to the children.
Mm-hmm.
This is also good because you can have time to tweak your career and work towards some other things you're passionate about.
No, you won't.
You don't have time for
it. You won't have time for
that. If you're raising small children, you don't have a lot of time.
You don't have any time. And by the time your children are old enough to be doing a lot more things for themselves than being in school... No one's going to care about your skills from, like, 2015.
Mm-hmm. Right. And also, if your husband's on a ship, he's not coming home to take care of the kids. You're by yourself.
Oh, yeah, you think about that. Yeah, this is not the Army.
Yeah.
Okay.
You said that he's making rank pretty quickly. Good for him.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Really? Great.
That means you didn't change your entire life for a husband who is not so serious about his Navy career. I totally understand that you're experiencing, and many military spouses will, too. I feel like you have lost your footing. No, I don't think so.
No, she's got to get out of there.
She's blaming.
Boo.
You don't have any friends. You're lonely and depressed.
It's like, yourself.
Yeah, however, you have to start looking at this as a unique opportunity and grow as an individual. First, you'll have to stay positive. If you don't, your resentment and depression will get worse.
Mm-hmm. Maybe some people have a hard time lying to themselves. Yeah. About their feelings.
Yeah. Yeah, some people really understand it.
Yeah, some people can't be delusional.
Yeah. Maybe you could start a blog and write about math and science.
Girl.
Third, you can start a meetup for people who are interested in math and science.
She just said no one's interested in math and science.
Yeah.
Like...
So you want a blog or a meetup about math? What you could talk about anything, math or science?
I feel like it's a different kind of woman who marries someone who's in the military or has intentions of going to the military and makes those intentions known before you get married. This guy wasn't doing shit.
He wasn't doing anything.
Probably saw a commercial one night and was like, I think I can do that.
Yeah.
You know, let me try it out.
And it changed everything.
Yeah.
Lastly, I think you should stay in close contact with your family and friends from home and try to visit them often. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, you'll be meeting friends and making connections. What?
No, it's not going to happen.
No.
She also said, I mean, she's saying she's liberal, and I'm not saying people in the military aren't liberal, but I think the reason why she said that is because maybe her views are just way out of line with the people that she's coming into contact with.
Yeah.
So it's not going to work.
Now, the difficult part may be due to the fact that you are not patriotic. I don't think that... patriotic, I don't think is really the right word for this. But being... because she said she was left-leaning. Did she even say she was unpatriotic?
She said, I'm not that patriotic.
That patriotic, yeah.
So I think what this woman is trying to say is, like, I'm surrounded by people who are waving the flag Republicans, and I'm not.
Yeah, like, she's
and that can make you feel unpatriotic if everybody else is, like, rah-rah all the time.
Yeah. So being this way can cause some problems, especially living on a base and in the military community. I'm not saying you have to pretend and hide who you are, but I'm...
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, you do. But I'm saying, since your husband loves his job and is excelling, you may as well support him. Thank you for writing me.
Ew, she solved nothing.
She solved nothing. She was just like, suck it up.
Yeah, suck it up.
He's got
thing
going on.
You're done. Yeah. It's finished.
Your feelings don't matter. Nope, your goals don't matter.
Here's our advice. Girl, pack your shit up and go.
Yeah, go.
It's not too late for you to probably get your old job back. It doesn't seem like your husband's coming home anyway.
Yeah.
Since he's out on the ship.
Yeah, that's what he's doing.
For what I know from guys who are in the Navy, they're gone for a very, very long time.
Yeah. They're gone for, and what are they doing? And he's excelling.
Yeah. What are you doing? How can you be happy when your partner is not happy?
You need to make the money, because you're going to end up supporting the kids anyway, because he's going to, you know.
Unless he flies high, he's not really going to get anything. Mm-hmm. Maybe the wrong metaphor since he's on a boat, but you know what I'm saying.
He's floating to the top.
He's floating to the top. Doesn't sound good either. You know, I was just thinking, we keep seeing these commercials for, like, Norwegian cruise ships, and their song is We Will Rock You. I'm like, probably not the best.
For a boat.
Did you guys think about that? Like, don't rock the boat. You know what I mean? Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com.
Thanks.
Bizarre. There was only one.
I like all our businesses. We should make a list of all our businesses.
We should go back
websites
and cut them all. Our businesses and our movies.
Yeah.
That are coming out never.
Yeah.
And a future that's never going to happen.
And our .coms.
Our .com. All of our apps.
Trademarks.
That's out there.
Copyrights.
Everything we've created.